Kevin, didn't we just like record Culture Clash and we just put a new one episode out today? In fact, it went out on the podcast feed.
Yeah, it's Friday, right? Why are we here again? Why are we again back with Culture Clash, man? We already did one this week.
Yeah, we got like this, what is it? Culture Clash news flash. You know, this is a Culture Clash news flash. Like, you know, like the old Muppet news flash.
Are we talking about how I watched the first two episodes of Beverly Hills 90210 because of you, your fault?
Got a long way to go.
Is that what we're talking about? Are we doing a special on 90210?
No, you are doing the whole run of 90210. Hey, come on. You saw Diamond Huntsal already.
I know. Diamond Huntsal. Captain Marvel. And he was in Captain Marvel, and he was also in was it second episode of 90210?
Yeah, second episode. Yeah.
Yeah, he played a bouncer. That's so funny. No, we got some news, man. Stuff decided to happen after we recorded Culture Clash.
Yeah, we got some major news, in fact. And one of it, we were just going to let sit till the next Culture Clash. And then some major news broke today. And Kevin and I talked about it. And we were like, yeah, we need to put out this Marvel News Flash Culture Clash special because this is huge. And I don't think anybody saw this coming, but it's here and we got to deal with it. But before we tell you what that news is, and of course, if you've been on the internet, I'm sure you probably know. But Kevin, would you tell the good people where they can find Culture Clash and the greatness of the Fandom Podcast Network?
Dude, I was just watching the trailer again, man. Okay, hold on. Here we go. All right, you can find Culture Clash and all of our other awesome shows on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at fpnet.podbean.com. And we always say another great way to listen to our show is on the Podbean app. The FPN is on the Podbean app, so make sure you check that out. Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify as well. And also, we are on Facebook, Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. On Instagram and Twitter, we are also at Fandom Podcast Network. I'm Kevin. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix. Kyle, where can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at AKyleW or on Instagram at AKyleFandom.
Two ways to support us that we would appreciate it very much. We have a little partnership over there at TeePublic. You can head over to TeePublic and search Fandom Podcast Network. You'll find a bunch of our great logos from our shows there. You can put on T-shirts and other apparel. And also iTunes and, you know, that whole Apple iTunes thing. You know, go on over there and leave us a review. We would very much appreciate it. So we have some news, Kyle.
Yeah, we got a little news.
We just couldn't wait until next week.
Yeah, I mean, this news is huge, Kevin, because I didn't know about this until I listened to Discoville when I did the edit of Discoville. There's some news about you and an inflatable guitar.
Move along.
The guitar story shall remain silent. wait, Kevin.
The only thing you're getting is listening to Discoville this week.
I was gonna say, do I need to get the Dustbuster? Did you just go dust on me?
It was just say it was a failed attempt to woo a girl. I'll leave it at that.
I will find out the story. I will know the story. But no, okay. Well, you know what, Kevin? Let's get serious. So there's only one way to do this news. So let's do it properly. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Ready? Let's news. I got a question for you, sir.
Yes.
The first time you heard about this news with James Gunn, did you hear it from me or did you see it online?
I heard it from you and immediately went online to confirm it.
I broke some news to Kyle. Yay.
It's not. It's like it's really hard to break news to me this time of year.
Well, I got to take advantage of when I can. So.
So you hit me with this and I saw your Facebook post. You're like, I hope this is real.
Yeah, well, I was like, I put it up saying, I hope this isn't clickbait, but apparently other people are reporting it, man. This is huge, dude.
This is huge. And for those of you who might be living under a shell or living somewhere where there's like not a consistent internet feed, James Gunn is back. And he is back with Disney and with the Guardians. He will be the director for Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. The band is officially back together. I guess Dave Bautista doesn't have to leave being Drax after all.
Yes. Now, what I'm curious to find out is, Because I heard in one report that this was actually agreed upon whether a month or 2 months ago. But
I have thoughts.
But stuff was kept under wraps for a particular reason, and I want you to tell us why and something that you kind of called out on.
Okay. First of all, before we do anything, I do want to read what James Gunn has posted on Twitter about this.
Good call.
James Gunn has posted the following statement. I am tremendously grateful to every person out there who has supported me over the past few months. I'm always learning and will continue to work at being the best human being I can be. I deeply appreciate Disney's decision, and I'm excited to continue making films that investigate the ties of love that bind us all. I have been and continue to be incredibly humbled by your love and support. From the bottom of my heart, thank you. Love to you all. I want to read to you this. It was the statement he put out when he was fired in July. My words of nearly a decade ago were, at the time, totally failed and unfortunate efforts to be provocative. I have regretted them for many years since, not just because they were stupid, not at all funny, wildly insensitive, and certainly not provocative like I had hoped, but also because they don't reflect the person I am today or have been for some time. So, let's rewind and take the Wayback Machine to this past July when we first started talking about James Gunn being fired over this. Mm-hmm. And how I think where everybody was so upset was how quickly Disney did the knee-jerk reaction. And I said something particular at that time, my reasoning behind why Disney acted so quickly.
But I think you and I were on the same plane about this, though, that we felt that Disney overreacted. I think, and we thought that was handled a little unfairly on their part and not like, you know, kind of waiting and talking things out and just kind of, you know, shouldn't have jumped on that so quickly just to fire him right away. I think we were on the same plane about that, right?
Yeah, we agreed that how they handled it was poorly. Yeah,
and of course, I know you're going to give us what you're going to mention, you know, what you're going to talk about, but also, too, you know, Dave Bautista, I think, was the loudest about his unhappiness with this as well, and many other fans, right?
Yeah, a lot of fans. Bautista was the loudest of the Guardians actors. A lot of them did get together and issued that letter about a month later that they all signed about their thoughts on James Gunn and things of that such. But I also said at the time, too, that this was more of a business decision for Disney than it was anything else, because Disney was under pressure from certain politicians that had the ability to hold up a major acquisition Disney was about to do if they didn't do something about the James Gunn situation. And that was, they were planning to hold up or cause problems with the Fox purchase by Disney.
Yes, this was something that you had brought to our attention, that this is a business decision, not just a, you know, a moral decision.
Yeah, and I lean that way, no, just because of what my nature of my job is, plus the fact that Kevin Feige was very passionate about how much he disapproved of this, but he still played the political line that he understood. But you could tell he was not real thrilled with this decision, but he didn't fight it. Now let's hit the fast forward button to today, where it is announced that James Gunn is coming back as the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And this has been slowly building, because let's not remember, just on the last Culture Clash that came out, we talked about how Sean Gunn had gone on record saying it is official they are using James Gunn's script, and that everybody
was also new news over this last few weeks, right?
Yeah. I mean, that rumor had been around for a while, but it was pretty much confirmed. So over the last few days, it's being reported that it looks like next week, and we're recording this on the 15th of March, sometime next week around the 20th, the Fox Disney deal will close. At this point, it's basically a done deal. There's just a few little things here or there, but it's past the point of no return. It's done.
The T's have been crossed and the I's have been dotted.
Dotted, yes.
So the people that were in favor of this firing, that had the potential to alter this deal, as Darth Vader would say, are no longer in play. Is that what you're saying?
Basically, yes. So Disney is free to once again announce James Gunn is the director of Guardians of the Galaxy 3. So, conspiracy theory time, Mr. Reitzel. And I want to, let me get my theory out, and I want to see what you think. James Gunn was never officially fired from Guardians of the Galaxy 3. He was put out as fired, and there was a backroom talk. Let us get through this deal. We've got to make this appearance. And then once the deal's back, we'll bring you back.
Can I interject something real quick? My only, caveat against that, I don't know if I'm using the right terminology here, of him being announced that he was doing the Suicide Squad 2 movie. I mean, is that something that saying, okay, well, I'm going to do this job too in addition? Or do you think, I'm thinking like maybe he really was fired and he didn't get any information. Then he gets information, or then he gets hired to do Suicide Squad 2. After that happens, then Disney comes to him and saying, hey, you know, we still want you to do this. We may have to delay it. What about that news?
That's a possibility, but here is why. This is why I think this way. One is Disney was not going. James Gunn has still had some background influence with the MCU. Even they're like, oh yeah, we still bounce a few ideas off of him. That's been openly reported. You know, ideas that Gunn has implemented, we're still going to go forward and use. So James Gunn has still had an influence on the MCU. I think him taking the Suicide Squad job, I don't think Disney sees that as even being in direct competition per se. And I actually think it may have helped the guys a little bit as well. But here's why I think Disney has had this planned from the get-go. They initially, that first month, kind of threw out some directorial names, and then it just was shelved. Oh, yeah. We're just putting the movie on hold. We'll get to it when we get to it.
Now, did they put the was there an original release date of that, like in 2020 maybe?
Yeah,
And then they pushed it back, right?
Yeah, they pushed it back indefinitely.
Okay.
It was put on the shelf and put on hold. Everything's just on hold. It is going to happen. There was months of debate. Well, are they going to use James Gunn's script? Are they going to write a new script? And, of course, all this time, James Batista's losing his mind on the internet. And I think I truly do believe, and it will never be admitted to, I don't think this can ever be admitted to, that there was a backroom deal between James Gunn and the higher ups between Marvel Studios and Disney to say, let us get through this.
Gotcha.
Let's close this deal. The business sense kicks in. James, if you get other offers, just let us know, but go do them. I don't think at this point, Marvel doesn't even see DC films as competition. I don't
yes.
believe that in the slightest. And maybe there was a short period of time where maybe James Gunn wasn't in on the loop on this, but I think this was something at least the higher ups, Feige.
Even though they're not concerned about competition with DC, though, I mean, but does him taking the DC job, you know, would that have thrown any problems into the works of him coming back? Or did they, you know, I mean, that's why I'm kind of curious, you know, because this is odd to have someone doing a DC movie and a Marvel movie back to back, I would assume, right?
You know, it's hard to say, but again, the way DC is going about their films now, DC is basically scrap trying to have a connected universe. They're just making individual movies at this point.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have a Superman. We don't have a Batman. Okay. We got a problem here. I think James Gunn, I think this is, I don't see how anybody could sit there and just say, oh, this isn't coincidence. If this is coincidence, this is about the biggest coincidence you will ever find.
Are you on the belief then that this backroom deal was from the very get-go, or do you think that they approached him later? You know,
maybe it might not have been. I think it was at least a backroom deal between Kevin Feige and Disney.
Okay.
and then maybe James Gunn wasn't brought into the loop till a little bit later on. But think about how political and how quiet James Gunn was.
Right.
And just how much he just said, I was wrong. They were 100% within their right. And he didn't raise a single stink about it. He didn't complain. You never heard one complaint about what Disney, what happened when that whole situation, when 99% of people would have at least said, yeah, I don't think, you know, I wish they would have taken a little time with this and thought about it or something like that.
It's fun to believe that when David Bautista was very vocal about this and upset, if he got like a secret phone call from Gunn going, dude, shh. Don't worry, I'll be back.
Well, I don't think so, because I think that was probably part of the back. If anybody else knew about it, there's one person who I would think, because he has been fairly quiet and fairly diplomatic about it, and that's Chris Pratt.
Not his brother, Sean?
I don't think Sean might have been in the know, but I truly do believe, Kevin, this, like you said, worst case scenario, James Gunn has known about this, I'll say, since September. But I really do think this was something that there might have been some unpublished words between Disney and James Gunn.
Right.
Even before they made the announcement, because we are talking about a multi-billion-dollar deal. And you can't tell me that James Gunn isn't going to get some benefit out of this. And I don't care what you say. James Gunn, along with Jon Favreau and the Russo brothers, are kind of the founders of the Marvel Cinematic Universe with Kevin Feige. And yeah. I think they're kind of the brains of the outfit. So this is a wonderful thing. We're going to get the Guardians film that everybody wants. My guess is going to be you will hear something within the next 2 to 3 months of some when Guardians will start filming. Dave Bautista will be like, I'm back. I'm not going anywhere. My guess will be it will take place after, obviously, that the filming will take place after Suicide Squad. And depending on what the schedule is, Marvel still has not announced what the next movie is officially after Far From Home.
Interesting.
That has not been.
I'm sure we'll get some news though by then. I think that now that the Fox deal's done, I would say probably either. I would say we would get some news after Endgame of, you know, what is back on the schedule or on the schedule after.
Well, okay, we know there's the Disney, all the Disney Plus projects they're working on.
No, I'm talking about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Okay, but that's what I mean.
But here's my feeling right now, Kevin. We have Spider-Man Far From Home July 4th weekend. That feels like a good break point for me for a little bit, for everybody to kind of get a little bit of a break from the MCU. Because when you think about it, we've had what? It'll be like 8 movies in about a year and a half period from the MCU, going back to last February. You had Black Panther. You had Endgame or Infinity War. You had Ant-Man and the Wasp. You'll have had Captain Marvel. You'll have had Endgame, and then you'll have had Spider-Man. So you'll have had 6 films in about a year and a half period tied into the MCU. That's a lot of movies. And now, granted, we've talked about this. Every MCU film is a little different. But still, that's a lot of movies for that universe to have in a short period of time.
Right.
You add in the fact that they're doing the Vision and Scarlet Witch series. They're doing the Loki series. Those two are official for Disney+. There are rumors of a Rocket and Groot series. There's even rumors of a Captain America spinoff of Winter Soldier and Falcon series, which I'm all for. I need that yesterday. Thank you very much. We know Doctor Strange 2 is going to start filming soon. We know that there will be Black Panther 2. Ryan Coogler's signed on for that. We know Tom Holland's got a mega deal for playing Spider-Man. But would it be a shocker if the first movie back after Spider-Man Far From Home isn't Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3?
That's kind of how we've envisioned it, I think. Well, the only other movie that I think that was on our radar, which was greenlit, as far as I know, and still is Black Panther, right? I'm sorry, not Black Panther. Yeah. I'm sorry. Black Panther 2, yes. I'm talking about Scarlett Johansson's movie.
We could have that. That could be the next one. You have the Black Widow film as well, and you also have Doctor Strange 2.
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Black Panther 2 moved up. You know, that came in first, and then Guardians. You know, would that be weird? I don't know.
It's hard to say. I think we will have a much better appreciation once we get the whatever the stingers are from Spider-Man Far From Home.
That's right. We got to get those, don't we?
Yeah. So, Kevin, I mean, so I've laid out my conspiracy theory here. I've put this out. I think this is a great thing for the MCU. I think this is a great thing for the fans. Obviously, it's a great thing for James Gunn. Of course, we met James Gunn a few years ago at Dragon Con in Atlanta. He was amazing, showing up unannounced, not as a guest, but just coming there. It was the signing autographs for free all day Saturday. Did a couple of panels unannounced. He was great, and I think we all had a great appreciation for him. How excited are you about this news?
I'm really, really excited. He's, you know, he is part of the cast to a certain degree. You know, it's like trying to replace someone in Guardians of the Galaxy, the main cast, and then taking that, you know, him not being the director is like taking away, you know, Gamora. You know, and trying to replace her with someone else, you know, or, you know, Drax or whatever, you know, it's he is the reason why that movie is those movies are a success. And that flavor of storytelling that comes from Guardians of the Galaxy that we like, he's really good at developing those characters and making sure that the chemistry between those guys work. And, you know, he's the front runner of that. You know, he's the father of that group, of that family, you know. So I'm ecstatic. I think this is great. And, you know, part of me, even though, you know, I agree with you about this whole Fox thing, I think that that has a huge thing to do. I also would like to see that Disney learned from this as well, and not to just, you know, have a knee-jerk reaction and go, let's fire them, you know, next time, kind of like before you'd have that knee-jerk reaction and do the firing, you know, consider those actions first and see if that's really the best thing for not only business-wise, but for the fans and the property itself.
Yeah, no, I agree. Well, this is kind of huge news considering the fact we have Captain Marvel tearing up the box office. We are very excited for Avengers Endgame, and Marvel dropped it on us. The new trailer for Avengers Endgame, and wow, what a trailer, Kevin.
Yeah. Now, I remember some culture clashes ago, I remember we had the teaser trailer that came out, and yes. you had voiced your opinion about, you know, I would be happy with no other trailers that came out because I don't want them to give away too much. But you are pleased with this trailer, right?
I am very pleased with this trailer. But here's why I like this trailer so much. I love the fact that a good portion of this trailer is actually looking back at our three main Avengers with scenes from Iron Man's past films, with scenes from Captain America's past films, with scenes from Thor's past films. Then we go into a little bit of things we've already seen in the trailer, plus a few new things. There's only two big reveals in this trailer, and neither of them to me, well, okay, one is a little bit, but neither of the two that I think most people have focused on are that big to me. I'm going to start first with the kind of stinger at the end of this trailer, the scene with Thor and Captain Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, with Captain Marvel out, to me, this is just adding to this is a great scene to put in, adding to the all these new fans, especially these new female fans who are flocking to Captain Marvel.
Yeah, that really wasn't a spoiler. We knew Captain Marvel was going to be in Endgame, you know.
Yeah. So, but I think a lot of people were kind of hoping we weren't going to see a lot of interaction until the film came out with Captain Marvel. But I'm fine with this. The other big things they're talking about, and okay, spoiler warnings for anybody out there who's trying to stay blind. Trying to avoid all these trailers or whatever. I'm throwing that out there right now. There's two things that people are focusing on being spoiled in this trailer. The first is the suits the Avengers are wearing in this scene where you see them walking across like a hangar. And I'm going to say this. This fact has actually been out for a few weeks now because they were showing pictures from Toy Fair of the Avengers line that's coming out with the characters in these suits.
But it's what the suits represent is what people think are the spoilers.
What they think, what they think it represents.
Which to me wasn't a spoiler. I was kind of expecting them to do this, but I think from the average moviegoer, I could see this, and that is introducing their strategy to use the quantum realm to try and rectify things, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think this is people who watched Ant-Man have been kind of figuring this might be the case since Ant-Man Wasp ended.
Yes, yes, definitely. I mean, we always kind of, us astute, you know, we talk about it all the time, fans. We're like, okay, if the Avengers are going to get any edge in this game against Thanos, I think that Scott, Ant-Man, and the Wasp are going to have a hand in this plan big time.
Well, at least Ant-Man is. The Wasp is a little dusty right now. But
yeah.
But the other big thing is in that exact same scene, we see Tony Stark and Nebula walking with the Avengers.
Yes, because now we've been spoiled that they've been brought together. But, okay, you know, it's not like they were killed and then brought into that scene. They were survivors.
Yeah, but a lot of people have been speculating, does Tony die out in space?
Right, right, right.
So, but Kevin, that's not even the biggest spoiler of all. Because no. I have a spoiler nobody's talked about yet.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because you even noticed it when you watched the trailer right before this started. The Black Widow is back how she belongs. Her hair is red in this trailer. There's some scenes where she's blonde or she has some blonde streaks, but her hair is back to being red.
Yeah, that kind of surprised me because she had kind of like with the blonde hair in the last one, right? So
yeah,
interesting. Okay.
So
I got some stuff I wanted to bring up.
Okay, well Kevin, I do have one last question for you.
Okay, sure.
A lot of people I've talked to, I mean, everybody was really excited for Avengers Endgame, obviously. And a lot of people saw Captain Marvel, especially with the Stinger and Captain Marvel, got really excited for Avengers Endgame. But I've talked to several people who have seen this trailer and are just like, bring it on. I want it right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think this trailer has really pushed, kind of brought the excitement to the forefront for Avengers. And I think it's been kind of lingering there. And now it's like, it's full on people realizing, hey, we're only like 6 weeks away from this.
You know what's weird is I cannot pre-purchase my tickets for this movie.
Yeah, you're gonna be.
Whose fault is that? I'm gonna be in Canada. I'm gonna be in Vancouver, Canada. I'll be arriving on Wednesday, the night before where they have the preview nights on Thursday for movies now. So I gotta find a way to see it while I'm in Endgame. But I'll be in.
Hey, wait, Kevin, Andy Sloan, if you're listening. Hook my boy up.
I already told him. I said, dude, I'm going to have to squeeze in our Highlander Vancouver location tour. I'm going to have to squeeze in the Avengers Endgame. I mean, I'm going to see it again when I hit L.A. a week later with Aaron. We'll see it in L.A. again somewhere. So, but yeah. So can I bring up a couple things then?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So social media noticed that the Endgame poster, after seeing the trailer, Denai, Gurria, of course.
Yeah.
Am I saying that right? Denai Gurria. Okay. Who plays, the warrior lady,
Okoye,
yes, to Black Panther, was not mentioned in that top poster of all the names from the stars in there. So a lot of fans kind of had an issue with that. Why she was in the trailer, why isn't her name up there? So, and apparently due to fan feedback, a new poster was released, at least digitally anyway, including her name. What's your take on that?
You know, I think this is a lot much to do about nothing. I get her. I think her name should have been on the poster. I think she's actually a very popular character. I mean, there's even been talks of maybe giving her her own film, and she is leaving The Walking Dead after next season. Let's not forget that as well.
Mm.
But I think to throw this whole fit that she wasn't on the poster isn't necessarily a thing. But Marvel, credit to Marvel and Disney, they listened and they corrected it. So props to them for that.
My other observation was, and I don't know if this has been confirmed. I know we've speculated on Culture Clash, weeks ago more than once, is when we're going to see Stan Lee's final, cameo. Did we see it in Captain Marvel?
I don't think so. I think there's been enough time that they probably filmed at least. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, and it would be fitting if it was in Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay, that's what I was wondering, but that's not been confirmed, though, has it?
That has not been confirmed, but, I mean, it's either going to be an Endgame or Far From Home.
Okay, all right.
I mean, Endgame, both of these films have been in the can for a while, so we'll see. I really hope it's Spider-Man Far From Home. That would be the absolute most fitting thing, is for him to be, his final cameo to be in a Spider-Man film.
Okay.
So... But there's one other thing I want to talk about with this Marvel special before we get out of here, Kevin. And let's talk about Captain Marvel. We both loved it, and I think it's exploding even bigger than any of us thought it was going to. Do you think that's a safe assumption?
That the excitement for it? What's the question?
That it's exploding bigger than what we thought it was going to.
The anticipation for Endgame?
No, the reaction. No, Captain Marvel. The reaction to Captain Marvel.
Oh,
the positive reaction and how people are responding and loving it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the reaction to the movie in general and the impact that Brie Larson has had. What I think that it's done too is reinvigorated everyone's excitement for Endgame, and that. Carol Danvers, of course, is Captain Marvel, this film and everyone in it is bridging that excitement because of the references to it. And, it's funny. I've seen a lot of people also call this, the Fury backstory movie as well, which I thought was kind of funny. I think Captain Marvel's doing quite well and people are, gravitating towards it and enjoying it overall. I think I've heard a few nitpicking, reviews about certain things.
It's not a perfect film by any stretch of the imagination. There's some flaws with it, but the character herself is so welcoming. And the thing that sold this movie was the relationship she has with Nick Fury and the chemistry she has with Sam Jackson.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think that's what makes that movie a lot of fun.
But I want to read this article because it has some quotes from the man himself, Kevin Feige. Kevin, by the way, is it safe to say that Kevin Feige is probably the new version of Stan Lee at this point, the guy who's going to pick up the torch for Marvel? That guy who is their spokesman?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, especially on the movie side of things, definitely. I mean, Stan Lee obviously started with the comics and so forth. But, when it comes to the man, the figurehead for the Marvel Universe, he's definitely, I think he secured his job.
Yeah. So I want to read this article. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is entering a transitional phase as familiar heroes are expected to depart the series following the events of Avengers Endgame. When compiling reports of films that are expected to debut in the next few years, the future film slate is dominated by all new films or sequels to more recent entries into the MCU. According to Marvel Studios president Kevin Feige, one of the most recent heroes to debut in the MCU, Captain Marvel, will become a major force in the franchise's future. Based on Feige's comments, it would appear Carol Danvers will be the key to holding the MCU together. Quoting Kevin Feige, "The great thing about Captain Marvel is she is a human. She's a real person, Carol Danvers, who gets these incredible powers and who has these amazing adventures in outer space." Feige confirmed in Captain Marvel, the official movie special, but as with all of the best Marvel characters, she needs to be very human. So this is not just about somebody who is incredibly powerful and can fly around and shoot photon blasts out of her hands. It is somebody who is very human, who's very vulnerable, and who has multiple dimensions. Tony Stark debuted in Iron Man, kicking off the MCU as we know it. While there isn't an official leader of the Avengers, both Stark and Captain America have been prominent figures in the franchise, and it is the lessons they learned over the course of their lives that motivate their heroism. In that regard, it seems as though Captain Marvel would make a better choice to drive the MCU forward than, say, the Guardians of the Galaxy. Feige added, when we found out that Brie Larson might be interested in joining our world, we had a number of meetings. She was a huge fan of the character in the comics. One of the highlights of my career at Marvel was introducing her at Comic-Con and having her come out on stage and stand there with literally almost everybody else from our movies. There she was at the forefront, and it was a great foreshadowing, not just for how audiences are going to embrace Brie as this character, but also for how Captain Marvel is about to take the lead and be at the forefront of the entire cinematic universe.
So yeah, we're expecting her to be the leader, you know, take over for Captain Marvel, so to speak. So yeah.
You mean Captain America?
Yeah, sorry, Captain America. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Remember that scene in Avengers where they're all together and they're deciding what to do, and it was kind of like Tony Stark saying, "Call it, Cap." Was that confirming that Captain is the leader of the Avengers at that scene? Right,
I think
pretty much to a certain degree,
kind of in a way. The way I always kind of saw it, though, Captain America has really always been considered like the leader of the Avengers, like the best leader the Avengers have ever had. In that case, it was almost like Tony Stark saying, "Okay, yeah, you're the better field commander. It's on you." And then, of course, Tony's own ego gets in the way later on in Age of Ultron and Civil War and things like that.
Yeah.
The Avengers, see, that's the thing about the Avengers, is that the Avengers have really always been, you know, it's a trifecta, kind of like what you have in DC with Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman. The Avengers trifecta is Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man. But there have been some really crazy people who have led the Avengers over time. Hawkeye was actually the leader of the Avengers at one point.
How funny. Okay, so wait, go back to Captain Marvel real quick. What was the original name of the Avengers going to be before Nick Fury changed it to Avengers, because that was Carol Danvers' call sign on her plane?
I can't remember.
Was it called?
The Protective Initiative?
I think
it was like Initiative or something like that.
That's funny.
The Protective.
Okay, so I got a question for you. All right, so yes, before Captain America came out, the question was, and we discussed it on Culture Clash a few times, what was going to be the big new threat after this whole Thanos thing that we assume is going to be concluded by the end of Endgame, that, you know, things are going to go back to normal to a certain degree and we'll get certain people back. That's what we're kind of hoping, blah, blah, blah. What was going to be the big new baddie? And you had speculated that it was going to be introduced in Captain Marvel because of, I guess, of the comic series and what we've already been introduced, I guess. But maybe it has something to do with the Kree. I don't remember exactly, so
no,
I can't really quote you. After seeing Captain Marvel, what is going to be the new baddie? What's going to be the big new threat in future Avenger films or what have you?
I think there's one of two ways they can go here, and they might do both. It's very possible because they could still do this. My speculation was that it's going to be revealed, even though the Skrulls were somewhat, I don't want to necessarily even say heroes, but they were kind of the losers of the Kree-Skrull war. They were just trying to find a way to their home planet. But these are people who infiltrate planets and they're shapeshifters and things like that. In the comics, there was a series called Secret Invasion where the Skrulls had taken several Marvel heroes and people throughout the world and replaced them. They'd kidnapped these people, made them and replaced them with duplicates. Or all of a sudden this particular character was back from the dead. It's comics. That's not that mind blowing of a concept. So
gotcha,
I think they could still possibly pull that off if they wanted to, but I'm leaning towards, and I'm actually going to give Michael Morris a little credit for this, because he actually was the first person who really threw this, both him and Alex kind of threw this at me. If we're talking the quantum realm, and if we're talking even possible time travel, there's a character that's also a major Avengers villain by the name of Kang the Conqueror, who is a time traveling warlord. And he has been one of the major Avengers villains over the years. So he could be a very big possibility, especially if time travel is somehow a big part of the Thanos solution in Avengers Endgame.
Okay. All right. I mean, we'll probably get maybe a tease of that in Endgame, don't you think? Like another, you know, character that might tie into what you guys are saying, maybe?
I'm going to throw something out, though. Let's not forget that we have a major, major set of wild cards in the MCU starting in about 5 days. We have the Fantastic Four characters and the X-Men characters. They officially become part of the Marvel Universe in 5 days.
Do you think that they're scrambling to put together a, you know, end scene that, you know, like maybe we'll see like some antimantium, or am I saying that right?
You could see a hand with some claws pop out.
Yeah.
Or
God, dude, how you could awesome see the, would that be?
You could see like the thing's hand or something like that.
So you think that we think it's possible we might get an X-Men or Fantastic Four tease, huh?
My thinking is this. I think Fantastic Four is a lot more realistic to be the next film out of that bunch that they've acquired from Fox, because we still have an X-Men movie coming out this summer. I think Marvel's going to take a little time with the X-Men to kind of properly reset.
Yeah, Fantastic. So what you're saying is they're not going to spoil anything. They're probably not going to touch anything X-Men until Dark Phoenix is done and fails.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. Until okay. That book is closed. But when you acquire the Fantastic Four characters like they have, that brings in two possible major villains as well.
Right.
Galactus and the guy many consider to be one of the baddest villains in the history of the Marvel Universe, one Doctor Doom.
Yes. Yeah. That's cool.
So all right. I think we have to remember we have that wild card. My guess is going to be, I would not be surprised to see a Kang reference at the end of Avengers Endgame. But I want to ask you this, Kevin, before we close this out. We're going to have, obviously, we have Captain Marvel. We have Avengers Endgame in about 6 weeks from the time I'm recording this. And then July 4th weekend, we have Spider-Man Far From Home. I think this is a really good idea, kind of like the way having something maybe a little more lighthearted in the Spider-Man film after the heaviness of Endgame. And I really think Far From Home is being set up to be the epilogue and maybe even the prologue to the next phase of the Marvel Universe.
Bridging him, yes.
Bridging them, because basically technically we're starting in phase four, but I think Avengers Endgame is the end of book one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Much like I've been kind of saying when Star Wars Episode 9 comes out, that's really the end of the Skywalker book per se. And we really start fresh with new Star Wars things after Episode 9 comes out. Here's kind of what I'm thinking, what might be Disney's plan, because Disney's going to be very focused on Disney Plus, obviously. And I think with Celebration here in just a few weeks and with Far From Home coming out, and we haven't heard what the next Marvel movie announcement is, I really think Disney's focus is going to be through the summer and through the end of the year, Star Wars. I think Marvel's going to take a little bit of a back burner, which is something I think they need to do. I think they put out a lot of movies in a short period of time here. People are going to be kind of like, we've just hit this culmination point of this, what we've invested 10 plus years into. We have this new character who's going to lead the way going forward. Let's sit back. Let's get things right. Let's do what we need to do with Star Wars here and try to get things back on track with Star Wars and make Star Wars a priority. Let Marvel do their thing. Those guys are good. We know what they're doing. They've got their own projects. And then after Episode 9 comes back, when Episode 9 comes out, and in fact, it wouldn't even surprise me if Episode 9 maybe doesn't give us a surprise trailer before of the next Marvel movie project. I think that's when Marvel's going to start picking up some steam again as far as this is what's really coming next. This is just the aspect of Disney owning these two major flagpole franchise, tentpole franchises.
Right.
Yeah. Norman, take your shot, Lau. So I mean, what do you think? Do you think I'm right in feeling this way?
Yeah, I think after, you know, Endgame obviously is going to, you know, we're going to see a Star Wars Episode 9 trailer probably during Celebration in April. Middle of April, and then the end of April, we'll have Avengers Endgame. The Star Wars buzz will be buzzing, and also we'll be hearing more about the TV series and The Mandalorian coming out in the fall and all that stuff. And then obviously we'll be getting Spider-Man coming out. So, and I see them the latter half, you know, concentrating on Star Wars and trying to make that as successful as they can, and then, you know, waiting to announce anything else Marvel wise. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if something was teased before, but you know, at Star Wars release, possibly, we'll see.
Yeah, I just really think too. I think, like, even I look at Disney Plus, I think the biggest thing we are getting marketed for. And I think the biggest excitement, I think the centerpiece of Disney Plus, Kevin, is two things. It's the fact Disney has announced they are putting their entire library, including the vault, onto Disney Plus. And I think The Mandalorian is the other big thing.
Right, right. Yeah. I hear you. Yeah.
But you know what? Well, no, go ahead, Kevin. You had a thought.
I was just going to say, you know, since we're on Culture Clash here, we could maybe, you know, do a quick little Raider Nerd poll update.
Oh, yes. What is the Raider Nerd poll update? Because I know you just want to go neener, neener at me.
So we are currently, the poll is up. We're currently checking on our guilty pleasure or cult classic status on two films. One being my pick, which is Free Jack, with Emilio Estevez, Anthony Hopkins, and Mick Jagger. Right now, cult classic is at 47%, and guilty pleasure is at 53%. And by the way, both of these polls are going to be ending on Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And then your Crawl is 85% cult classic.
Oh, it dropped.
15% guilty pleasure. But that is still a major... in favor of cult classic, which is what I called.
Yes. You just wanted to go neener, neener.
Dude, come on. Neener, neener. I want you to work harder next time, man, but we'll see what happens. Maybe it'll, come a little bit get closer.
Do I know my co-host or what here, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you. Anyway, with that, like I said, this is a special edition of Culture Class. This news was just too big, Kevin. We couldn't wait until... we're recording this Friday night. This will probably be out Saturday or Sunday. We hope you enjoy it. And you know what? Until then, make mine Marvel, Kevin.
Make mine a Marvel too, man. Yes, I'm excited. Can't wait.
Bring on the MCU. Bring on April 26th. Bring on July 4th and whatever may come. And welcome back, James Gunn.
Yes, welcome back.
Thank you for listening to this special Culture Clash Marvel News Flash. And with that, as always, respect each other and enjoy your Marvel fandom, ladies and gentlemen.